testimony. The reason why they said the first test is wrong is because the test was negative. They didn't believe the first test, the doctors. Because that was not Emily's first test. She's been for testing a number of times. She's been tested positive, not once, but how many times? Many, many times. So here comes this result, and the doctor says, well, I have tested you personally so many times, and it's impossible, medically speaking, that this can turn around. I'm just testing you for because to humor you, because you're insisting on this. But this test is wrong, because all the other tests said you are positive. Let's test you again. And then the second test comes again, and again, you are negative. It indicates to us that their healing has taken place. In the name of Jesus Christ. There comes a time in our lives sometimes that we start to doubt God, that we fear because there is uncertainty in our life. There's financial uncertainty. There's relationship problems sometimes that people have. You're going through a difficult time and you're in this crisis not knowing, can I really trust God? Can I really put my faith in Him? And I want to speak to you from Exodus chapter 34. I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to share a few thoughts with you. The Lord passed before him, that's Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. You see, God is a God that is faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. But I want to talk about that word faithful. The first part of that word is faith. And when we put our faith in Jesus, in God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, then He takes our faith, He adds the word "ness," and it becomes faithfulness. Amen. Or fullness, rather. Faith plus fullness. Faithfulness. But God needs your faith. God needs your faith to say, I need something from you. I have got the fullness. I am full. I am overflowing. I have abundant life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life in abundance. I have fullness. In Christ is the fullness of the deity in bodily form. There's so many scriptures about the fullness of God and the richness of God. It says, I've got the fullness, but I need your faith to make it faithfulness. And the amazing thing is that the fullness of God is always waiting for us. It's just us coming with faith. Coming with faith. Coming with faith and trusting God that when we connect our faith with His fullness, we're going to receive the faithfulness of God, and He's going to come through for our prayers. He's going to bring the breakthrough. He's going to provide for us. I can tell you so many stories of Christelle and I of how we've gone through challenges. How we've gone through financial crisis that we would literally be at our last cents, that we would have less than 10 rand in the pocket and there's half the month to go. And how God would provide for us. How He would say, God, I'm going to put my faith in You. Even when we got married, we said, Lord, we do not have the finances. We don't have any of those things that is needed to have this big wedding ceremony. But we got married on Millennium Day, the most expensive day in a long time. Everything is not double the price, it's three times the price. But God provided everything we needed. When we've had two miscarriages, we said, God, we're going to trust You that this will not be the way for us, that we're going to have our children. And praise God, now we have five children. Because we said, we're not going to give up. We're not going to come to a place of despondency and say that we have no faith, we have no hope because we've had two miscarriages already. Maybe you're in that same place today where you've had a miscarriage in life. There was an expectation that you had. Can I tell you the sad part of the first miscarriage that we had? For me, this is the worst. And it sort of always touches me when I think back about it. We had such an expectation for our first child. We had so many prophecies and words from God concerning this child and how God's going to bless this child, our firstborn. And I I've been looking forward to children long before I even met Christelle. In fact, God gave me the names of our children before I met Christelle, and they have, by the way, 3 boys and 2 girls. Isn't that coincidence? That God would give me those exact names in the exact sequence? But then we have this baby, and we're expecting this baby. Christelle starts to bleed. We think maybe it's nothing. We go to the hospital the next day, and it's basically too late. And the baby falls down the drain and is flushed down the drain, literally. And I remember that terrible feeling of not only losing a baby, losing that source of joy and hope, but coming to a place where it's gone down the drain. And maybe some of you may feel like that today. Not necessarily a baby. It can be anything else. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe your marriage didn't work out the way you wanted it to. Maybe your children have left their house and they didn't leave in a positive way. Maybe some of your children and family members have forsaken God and they've gone on to live a lifestyle not in line with what you have taught them as a parent. It's not like your child has gone down the drain, but it's like you have this expectation and your expectation is lost. Your hope is lost. That which you were dreaming about, that has been lost. And I want to hold before you today a moment where we can just press pause in the button of life right here and say, we're going to stay here in this hall and we're going to remain in this hall and we're going to wait upon God for a life-changing moment when we're going to say, today I'm going to wait, today I'm going to linger, today I'm not going to look at my watch, today I'm going to say, I'm going to look to my God. And I'm going to put my faith in Him. And I'm going to put my trust in Him. And I will not forsake my God, and I will not forsake my hope in Him. I will not forsake my trust in Him, because He is faithful. He always has been faithful. He always will be faithful. We may fail. Our faith may fail. Our hope may fail. Our courage may fail. Our strength may fail. But God remains faithful. And I want to challenge you today, as we're going to, in a few moments' time, we're going to give opportunity for prayer. I want to challenge you to respond by faith and say, God, come and do a miracle in my life. And there's many miracles that need to take place here today, different kinds. Some people here are going to commit your life to the Lord and you're going to experience the miracle of being born again. You see, we always say that when a little baby is born, it's a miracle. Do you agree with me? Amen. When somebody is born again, it's a miracle just the same. The difference is that when someone is born again, that new spiritual baby is going to live for eternity with God Almighty. Amen. When a baby on earth is born, during our first birth, the Bible says in John chapter 3, Nicodemus asked a question and he says, Lord, how shall I enter into heaven? And Jesus said to him, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is confused and he says, but how does that work? Must I climb back up my mother's tummy? It's just not going to work. I'm bigger than her. And he says, no, you must be born of water and you must be born of the Spirit. Born of water refers to a woman's water breaking during natural birth when a baby is born. That's what it speaks of. He says, you must be born in the natural, and that birth signifies that you've got the potential and the destiny to live 80 or 100 or 120 years. But then you also have to come to the place where you become born again. You see, your birth gives you the right to life, in a sense. And when you become born again, it gives you the right to eternal life. Not only for 80 years, but for eternity. And some of us today need to come to that place where you say, I need to be born again. Yes, I have been born onto this earth. Yes, I may have been going to church. Yes, I may have sort of given my heart to the Lord Jesus, not completely knowing what I was saying, what I was doing, or what it was all about. I have committed my life to the Lord quite a number of times, not truly understanding that I have to die to myself. And some of you are going to get that opportunity today. But some of us have got broken marriages, or you've got problems at work. Some of us have got financial crisis. Some of us need healing today. And we want to pray for the sick today. I want to pray for all those who have a need today, no matter how long it takes. You see, because I remember a night in 2001, around about the 2002, when Uncle Angus was there with us in Franschhoek. We had a meeting in this town hall. We invited him, and he was starting to pray for people, and it carried on for about a good 2-3 hours afterwards. Nobody moved. Nobody left the building. Everybody sat patiently as he was praying for person after person. And amongst the people he prayed for us was for me and Christelle. And he said, over the microphone, he said, "Anton and Christelle, in less than a year, you're going to have a baby." And 10 months later, Michaela was born, our firstborn. Sometimes we have to wait upon God to get that miracle. Sometimes we have to wait upon God in prayer and say, "Now I'm going to wait and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to sit, or I'm going to come forward and I'm going to respond to God's word by faith." God expects us to be faithful as well. I'm just going to read a few scriptures, and I'm not going to preach about it. Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." God says to you and me, he says, "Anton, Christelle, Kurs, Sarah." Here's Sarah. "I want you to be faithful in the little, and then I will appoint you over much." Many times we have hopes and we have dreams of big things, and I have those too. But hear the word of the Lord today. Be faithful with what you have. Be faithful where you are. Be faithful with even the very little that you have. Then Luke 16:11. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, in other words, money, who will entrust to you the true riches? God requires of you and me to be faithful in our money. When we hear those words, we think, "Okay, I must make sure I give my tax, pay my taxes. I must not steal. I must not cheat. I must not lie in my tax form. I must pay all my accounts. I must pay all my loans. I must not waste money, and I must not overspend." But in that, God is also requiring of us something more. It says, "Be faithful in all of those ways, and be also faithful in your tithes and your offerings, in your sowing and your reaping." Because that is the principle that we live by in the kingdom of God. The principle of sowing and reaping. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus speaks and he says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And when Jesus speaks about true riches, he says, be faithful in these things, and because if you are not, who can give unto you true riches? What does those true riches look like? Let's move on to the next slide. Maybe the curtains are open too much and you can't see, but there's about 500,000 people on that picture. Maybe more. Somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million people on that picture at one of the Reinhard Bonnke Crusades. Now, if you can ask me the question, "Anton, which would you prefer? 1 million rand in your bank account or 1 million souls in heaven?" You know what I'll pick? I don't want your money. You can give me 10 million. You can give me 100 million rand. I will pick 100 souls in heaven. For me, that would be the true riches. To see a soul come into the kingdom of God. To be see a soul saved. To see somebody turning to Christ and say, "I need Jesus. I realize that now. I'm going to put up my hand and I'm going to make a covenant with the living God." That to me is part of the true riches. And therefore God says to us, do not be concerned about the things on earth, storing up riches here on earth, but store up for yourself riches in heaven. What are those riches? It's the souls that we win for Jesus. That is what it is. But let me tell you, that cannot happen unless we are faithful with our money. Unless we are faithful in the little things. Unless we are faithful in managing it, but also in terms of our giving unto the harvest field. I don't want to linger on that point. Let's move on to Luke chapter 16 verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give to you that which is your own? In other words, when you're working for your boss who's got a business, when you're working for Sasol or a big mine or Eskom or a big company that's got lots of money, who can in a sense afford to lose money, are you going to be faithful there or not? Because many times we are seeking our own, but we have not been faithful in what is another man's. All of these points are messages on its own, which I'm not going to be going into. I want to jump to my second last scripture. This is a bit longer. Coming back to Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 16. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. He's speaking here about Jesus, and he's saying that Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, he was seated at the right hand of God, who comes from this heavenly realm, and he says he humbled himself, made himself a servant, made himself equal to mankind, even being submitting himself under us, submitting to the authority of men on this planet. He says he emptied himself. He gave of himself everything that he had. And he says, I had nothing left. There was nothing that Jesus held back. Remember, I said in the beginning that God is the fullness and in him is the fullness. And the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That speaks of Jesus. In other words, in Jesus is the fullness, and Jesus came and he took of that fullness and he came and emptied himself here. Where did he do that? On the cross. In other words, if we want to connect with the fullness of God, we have to come and connect at the cross. And then Matthew 16 verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, we need to take our cross, planted next to Jesus, and say, now I'm going to empty myself as well. I'm going to deny myself. My rights, my dreams, my desires, my will, my choices, my everything. And I'm going to surrender to Jesus. And the way that he surrendered to the cross, so we need to surrender to Jesus Christ. And die. The old man must die. Not only just become empty, not just deny everything you have, the things that you want to live for, but the old Anton must die. And herein lies the truth. You cannot become born again while you are alive. You must first die to be born again. And there is where many people make the mistake. We repent. You can repent many times, but you become born again once. And even after you're born again, you can repent still, because we still may have sin from time to time. We will have sin from time to time. But there lies 1 John 1 verse 7 to 9 that says, but if we confess our sins, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So many people make a commitment to God. Satan comes and accuses them, and they fall back and say, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. If my children break, they can even smash my car. They're still going to be my children. Amen? But there's a process in which we become children of God. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. There's nothing in between. Jesus said, you're either hot or you're cold. There's no lukewarm. He said, you're either for me or you are against me. It's either all or nothing. In the house of God, there is forgiveness. There is cleansing. There is healing. There's so many things. There is the fullness of God. And so with that, I'm going to close. And I'm going to give opportunity for you to respond to this in prayer. I'm going to make a few invitations. The first one is going to be for those who want to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus. To say, I want to become born again. If you have made that decision, fantastic. I celebrate that with you. But if there's somebody here in this room that says, I have not yet come to that place where I have met Christ and I've surrendered my life and I want to do that today, then I'm going to give you opportunity to do that. And I want us to just remain patient as people do that. Because this is a holy moment. This is an eternal moment. This is a moment where somebody in this room is going to say, I'm going to put my faith in the one who has the fullness. Thereafter, I'm going to give opportunity for those who've got other prayer needs, sicknesses, or whatever the desires you may have, needs you may have. Let's close our eyes. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will stir every heart in this place. Lord, I thank you for your word that says that you have not come to bring in judgment to the world, to come and condemn the world, but you have come to save it. And so, Lord, we celebrate this message this morning that it's not about condemnation. It's not about hell. It's not about judgment. It's not about evil. It's about the goodness of God. As we sang that first song about your goodness, we celebrate the goodness of the cross, the fact that you died, and Father, that you sent your Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. I thank you, Lord, for your word that says it is God, that it is your desire to see every person saved, and that none should perish. Lord, I pray that in every heart and mind represented here that is still in doubt, that is in the battle right now to make a decision, Father, that you strengthen every heart, to give us the boldness to stand up and to say, yes, Lord, I will bow my knee before you. As we are praying right now, just keep your eyes closed. God is speaking to people in this room. And if you're a Christian, I want you to just pray quietly there where you are. Just pray. I want you to know that God is with you right now if you're experiencing that battle. And he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you at the cross, and he says, come and meet me at the cross. If that's you this morning and you want to make a commitment to Jesus, you want to become born again, I want you to just raise your hand right there where you're seated. Just raise your hand if there's anyone here today that says, I want to commit my life to the Lord. Yes. Is there anyone else? Don't worry. Just raise your hand wherever you're seated. Thank you. I see that hand. If you've put up your hand, you can put it down.
feel there's many more people that need to respond. But I'm going to ask those who have raised their hands, I want you to come to the front and I want you to take a step of faith. And the Bible says, yeah, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I want you to obey that scripture and just come to the front. I want you to kneel, not in front of me and Jesus, just come to the front. And we want to pray with you, but just come quickly, those who've raised their hands. If I can have the ushers and ministry facilitators and cell leaders maybe to come and join. I want to extend this invitation right now. And I want us to just linger a little bit. If there's anybody else who also wants to come stand here in the front, come now. If you've not yet made that commitment to the Lord and you say, now's my time, this is my day, 29 July, this is my day, this is my time, then come quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some more space on this side. There may be a few more other people to come. If you feel that tugging in your heart, you know that's you. You know this is your day, this is your time. I want you to just look up at me. I want you to know that this is an amazing day. This is a joyful day. This is a day that you can say, hallelujah! I am saved. And what you're going to be doing now is maybe just turn around quickly and wave goodbye to everybody because they never see you again. You've got to die right now. Just wave at them. Just wave goodbye. Because you're going to be dead. And in a few moments' time, a new person is going to become born again. You're going to rise up, the Bible says, as a new creation. As a whole new person, a whole new being. It's not like a little change. It's a whole new change altogether. Amen. And in this process, we repent. And we put our faith in Jesus. And we enter into a covenant of love. Because the new covenant through Jesus is an eternal commitment. To love Him with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. That He's your first love above every person, family member, friend, any possession that you may have. You say, Jesus, you're my first love. Amen. Are you ready to do that? Then just pray with me. Let's out as a congregation, just stretch out your hands towards them. Just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. I acknowledge my sin. And I repent of my sin. I lay it all down. 100%. I lay down my will, my dreams, my rights, my desires, my choices, my everything. I deny myself and I pick up my cross. I choose to die to the old self and to become born again by faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Lord, I accept you as my Savior, as the one who died in my place. I accept you as my King. And I submit my will to you. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Heavenly Father, I commit to love you with my whole heart, with my whole soul, with my whole mind, I am yours and you are mine. Thank you, Jesus, for taking away my sins right now. Thank you, Father, for embracing me as your child. I celebrate eternal life with you today. And I thank you for it. As your child, destined for heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, just before you move, I want you to know, you see, those who don't know my wife, that's Christelle there behind, just wave your hand. That's the beautiful lady there. Okay. When I married her, I said a few words. It sounded something like, yes, yes, and I do. Does that sound familiar to anybody in the room? And guess what? We married. For life. Amen. It was quick. It was easy. But we married for life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so in the same way, you just made a covenant with God Almighty. You've not only undergone a change, but you've entered into a covenant. And a covenant is a commitment of love. I married Christelle in a covenant of love. You have just entered into that love. Amen. And the people behind you would love to pray with you a little bit more. And there's a card that they'd like to give you with some scriptures on it. And a few things that you can read. We'd like you to take that home. Just study that. But we'd also just like to get your contact details and spend some time with you and pray in the next week or two. And I invite you to maybe one of the home groups. But for me, it's important that we know that if you take a coal out of the fire, it dies. But if you put it back in the fire, it keeps on burning. And that is why we need to be together. That's why somebody's going to give you a phone call and say, listen, let's come together. Let's pray together. Let's talk about what has happened here today. And so when you receive that phone call, say, yes, I'm up for it. Let's make a date. Let's get together. And the youngsters, you can come and speak to us at youth. And we'll pray with you and speak to you. Or we'll visit you even at your house. Spend some time with you. So you can just maybe turn around and face the person behind you. Meet them there. And they want to pray with you and just help you. While they are connecting here in the front, I want to give opportunity for the second group of people. And that's the group of people that says, Anton, I need the faithfulness of God today. And I'm not going to keep you long by doing it section by section. I'm just going to invite everyone who says, Anton, I've got a sickness. Anton, I've got a financial need. Anton, I'm in a desperate situation in my marriage. I'm somehow in need of God's faithfulness. And I want to bring my faith to the front and ask God to add His fullness and do a miracle in my life. So if you need a miracle of whatever kind, if you have a need or a desire, and it can be something personal, like you're single and you want a husband. You're married and you want a baby. Whatever it is, come and bring your faith into the Lord. And so if that's you, I want to ask you, just come to the front and just stand behind them here. If you say, I've got a prayer need, just come to the front quickly as well. Just stand behind this group. There's enough space here.